On the March 14th edition of WINA's Best Seat in the House, Jed Williams talked with ESPN.com's Andy Glockner. Glockner, the college basketball editor of that website, talked about how the selections played out and which teams could make a run in the NCAA tournament.
This isn't your father's sports talk show.
This team a week ago was the last team in. 2 weeks before that, not a prayer in the world. Now I'm not happy with a three. I want maybe a two, okay?
This may be the most hopeful slash promising time since 1979 for UVA basketball.
Fast-paced, dynamic, and committed to you. This is the Best Seat in the House. Presented by Churchill Homes on News Radio 1070 WINA.
The question must be asked. Now, forget can this team be an it team? Is it now obvious this team is an it team?
You're only going to have so many years where you have that veteran backcourt that all coaches dream about. This is one of your windows of opportunity.
If you've got a hot sports opinion, fire away at 977-1070 or email the show, jed@wina.com. Here again, the Jedaroo, Jed Williams.
Oh, I have questions about the Virginia Cavaliers, but now it's a bowl full of brand new questions like, is J.R. Reynolds healthy? Can Virginia win a game? Can Virginia beat Albany in the NCAA tournament? Perhaps are the Cavaliers the most overseeded four seed in the history of the dance? But you know what? That doesn't really matter because God stretched out his grin ear to ear, shined the light upon the Cavaliers, made Virginia a four seed. Although, as we said earlier, not all four seeds are created equal, mind you. Meet Kevin Durant and Texas. But the Cavaliers will have Albany Friday at 12:20 from Columbus, Ohio. The Great Danes, the champions of the America East Conference. Jed Williams, Joey Mancini, Adrian Vigil, Walker Freer, and you doing bracket busters, doing our little best seat bracket game with open phone lines for your predictions. Call in, get your submissions in the rest of the way. 977-1070 and 1-800-688-9462. I like to call this guy our chief bracketologist. He is the basketball editor for ESPN.com. He does the drive to 65 really about every single day up to the selection show. Andy Glockner from Connecticut with us on the Casella's Hotline back on the best seat. Andy, well, the drive to 65 is now, it is 65, but the field is concrete, it's put together. Does that mean your life slows down, or do we do a different sort of drive to 65 now?
No, we got a long 3 weeks ahead of us, but it's definitely a lot of fun. Definitely good to have this as your profession and get to immerse yourself in March Madness as a job.
Now, Andy, overall, your thoughts on the job the selection committee did with the NCAA. How would you grade out the performance overall and what maybe was missing from their selection?
I thought the selection itself, the teams that made it into the tournament, I thought actually were quite good. If you can get past kind of the one annual snub you get, which I thought was Drexel this year, I'm not quite sure how a team like Arkansas or maybe even a team like Illinois got in ahead of Drexel. But if that's the worst thing that happened to the bracket, and in this case I think it clearly is the worst thing that happened to the bracket, I think that's a pretty good job on inclusion. My last couple of drives to 65s mapped out pretty well against what actually happened. I had Syracuse in a significant amount of trouble also, although I'll be honest and say I put them in as my last team ahead of Illinois, but I don't really have an argument one way or the other. I also had Kansas State out and thought Stanford might squeak in, so I guess we were thinking the same thing as far as that. I think the job they did a very poor job on, though, is the seeding. I heard you hinting at the Virginia thing in the lead into this segment.
Yeah.
I would agree with I don't want to say the worst four seed ever. You don't want to go that far with it. But I think any casual fan or any honest fan would say there's a pretty significant difference between Virginia and Texas right now at the four seed line.
Yeah.
And frankly, it looked like from the 12 to 15 seed lines, it was almost like the committee flipped the coin with some of the way they ordered that. I mean, Albany at a 13, they're not a bad team, but they're are some teams in the 14 and even the 15 seed line that I think are better teams than Albany is. And Long Beach State got a 12 seed when their best win in the RPI all season was over 140th ranked Cal Poly.
Wow. Andy, you said at times it seemed like almost flipping a coin to determine some of the lower seeds. Do you detect any themes, any common trends whatsoever binding together some of the overseeding or misseeding by this selection committee?
No, I think honestly that's the thing that troubled me in the sense of the seeding inconsistency. I've talked about it in our podcast on ESPN.com. Doug Gottlieb, I worked on with a story the other day. He had a good piece about that, which is, you look at certain cases, where it looked like the conference tournament helped a team like Arkansas, or a conference tournament performance was the dictating factor for a Drexel. They went out a little bit too early. you know, but and it punished Air Force for, you know, getting knocked out in the quarters. But then at the same time, Stanford got knocked out in the quarters of the Pac-10 tournament, and that didn't hurt them at all. You know, the committee said a lot of that had to do with Anthony Goods' injury down the stretch and that kind of thing. But in my mind, it didn't seem to be terribly consistent, you know, the way they applied things. In some cases, it seemed to help a team. In other cases, it didn't seem to help a team. You know, and then you have kind of inconsistencies within seeds. We talked about Texas and Virginia.
Right.
The one that I think was really weird was you have two Big East six seeds, Notre Dame and Louisville, and they decided to put Louisville in Rupp Arena. You know,
yeah.
a quasi-home game for a six seed when all they had to do was swap the two teams and send Louisville out to Spokane. So I don't understand stuff like that. I mean, I respect the work the committee does, and I understand the time frame they're up against with the CBS deadline at 6 o'clock and the tournament finals on Sunday.
Right.
Leaves them with very little time to kind of review. But I think that's what, at least in my opinion, this read like. I've joked that it read like a term paper that you crammed out, and each individual section looked good when you were writing it, but you never had a chance to look at the whole thing to see if it made sense together. And I think certain aspects of this bracket do not make sense.
Yeah, it's a good analogy. It didn't all tie together in the end when you looked at the finished product.
Right, exactly.
Andy Glockner with us from ESPN.com. He's the college basketball editor at ESPN.com. Andy, one more thought on the overseeding. Did it seem like, other than the small schools, if we're going to look at the power conferences, maybe the most overseeding occurred in the ACC? We mentioned Virginia, Duke at a 6, Boston College at a 7. Was there consistent overseeding in the Atlantic Coast Conference?
I think there was a little bit. Virginia, I don't think, is a 4-seed quality team right now. I'm not sure the injury plays into it, but certainly with Reynolds not 100%, they're not a 4-seed. Duke at a 6, I think, was very surprising. I'm not sure if they were trying to keep the Devils out of an 8-9 game situation or anything like that, but there are a lot of people, including myself, who think that VCU can win that game in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see an 11-6 situation there. BC, since Sean Williams went out, is very mediocre at best defensively, and I think that getting a team like Texas Tech with the precision offense that they can run at times is a very bad draw for a team that doesn't defend very well. So it'll be interesting to see how the ACC fares. It's one of those conferences this year where, you know, either everybody was really, really good or everybody was more mediocre than we thought. And I think we'll find out in the next couple of days which case that was.
Yeah. Andy, any thoughts on UCLA getting a 2 instead of a 1? Should the Bruins have belonged on a 1 line, or was that a fluid situation that changed during conference tournaments and the committee got the 1 line right?
Well, I think that's one of the situations we were just kind of referring to where in UCLA's case, the conference tournament quarterfinal exit killed them. You know, they basically threw out 30 games worth of evidence where UCLA played dozens of, you know, not dozens, but you know what I'm saying, a ton of games
sure.
in top 50 level competition, you know, put together a resume that a week earlier had them not only as a 1 seed, but in almost every expert's mind, the number 1 overall seed in the tournament. So to go from that position to essentially 5th in the course of a week by losing 2 games, I didn't agree with, but at the same extent, if you're going to make them a 2 seed, I don't understand then how you can punish a team like Kansas and have UCLA be out west.
Right.
So it's a situation the committee has come out and said that they don't project out to the Elite Eight. You know, they're not worried if a 2 seed is going to have a home court advantage against a 1 seed in the Elite Eight. And I can understand that line of thinking. You know, you can't assume anybody's going to win 3 games. But if you didn't think enough of your resume to make them a number 1 seed and keep them in the region, I think it's a little bit unfair than to kind of give them the bonus of the you know, left coast advantage, so to speak. You saw that they used it to very good advantage last year.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a game of consolation prizes, right?
Yeah, it's at least my opinion. I understand the other line of thinking. I'm just not sure I agree with it.
Yeah. Andy Glockner, college basketball editor, ESPN.com. Andy, final thought. Does Andy Glockner do a Final Four projection?
Yeah, we did put it out there today, to be honest with you. And I'll be honest, I struggled more this year trying to get a feel for any of this than in any previous year I can remember, because there were two kind of conflicting forces here. The entire year we've had about 5 or 6 teams that were better than anybody else, but at the same time all 6 of those teams have shown that they're extremely vulnerable at times. So you don't know which way to go. I mean, you could see a situation where 3 number 1 seeds could get through, or I can understand where all 4 of these teams, the number 1s, could lose because they're not great, you know, unbeatable number 1 seeds. Ultimately, I ended up going a little bit more chalk than I normally do, and I want to say I had something along the lines of Florida, Kansas, North Carolina, and Texas A&M, the 3 seed.
And Texas A&M seems to be a very in-vogue pick. Not a sleeper, but not a number one either.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. They're an extremely good team, and extremely underrated offensively, because at times this season they struggled against a couple of their higher-level opponents. But it's a diverse offense. It's a tremendous inside-outside mix with Law and Carter on the perimeter and Kavalauskas and Joseph Jones on the inside. They have a defensive stopper in Dominique Kirk. They play extremely good team defense. I wonder if they're going to be able to beat an Ohio State team with a Greg Oden in the middle if they get to the regional finals. But, you know, if they get that far, that's not a bad pick either way.
Yeah, indeed. Andy Glockner, the college basketball editor, ESPN.com, back with us on the Casales Hotline on the Wednesday Best Seat in the House. Andy, I know you're really busy. I appreciate you taking a few minutes, and we'll talk to you again throughout the tournament.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Take care. Andy Glockner, Casales Hotline, Best Seat in the House. He shares a little Texas A&M fetish. And who doesn't at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Kavalauskas. That's Kavalauskas. Oden v. Kavalauskas. That's the guy that will take Oden away from the basket and allow Law and Carter to slice and dice through that Ohio State defense. That's Andy Glockner's Final Four. We want your predictions going right to 8 o'clock with open phone lines to get your submissions in to Walker at 977-1070 and 1-800-688-9462. Joey, up next, should we venture east?
Let's go east.
Let's go east. Carolina, Texas, Georgetown, and others. We'll discuss with you on the other side of this break.